This podcast is brought to you by LearnMyCraft.com. Now, we've all experienced the frustration of not having enough time to practice your art. So whether you're a total beginner or an experienced artist, LearnMyCraft has got you covered. With easy-to-follow tutorials using coloured pencils and pan pastels, you can level up your animal art skills today in as little as 45 minutes. Make practice fun and easy again at LearnMyCraft.com. Hello and welcome to the final episode of Season 1 of the Animal Art Podcast. Over the past 25 episodes, we've met incredible artists, explored new techniques, and heard inspiring stories. Thank you so much for listening and supporting the podcast. Between us, we are building an amazing community of animal artists. Season 2 will launch on Thursday, the 13th of February, with some amazing guests already lined up. So today I'm joined by Helen Carter, a multi-award winning coloured pencil artist, brand ambassador and teacher from the UK. Helen is celebrated for her highly detailed realism, creating stunning artworks of pets, wildlife, florals and human portraits. In this episode, we discuss developing confidence in your artistic style, using swatch cards for colour accuracy, choosing the right paper, and working with big art brands as an ambassador. While we talked, we both drew exercise 9 from the practice journal British Wildlife Edition, a blue tit. This is all coming up on the show today, so grab your materials if you're drawing along at home and let's get started. So hello.
Hi.
Thank you, Helen, for agreeing to do this live with me, this live draw. I'm so excited.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a while. I'm a little bit rusty.
That's fine, because you've been busy, haven't you?
I have been busy doing all kinds of other things. Yeah, mm-hmm. I haven't done much wildlife work for a long time, so I'm looking forward to this.
Wonderful. Yeah, so for those who don't know you, do you want to introduce yourself before we get started?
Yeah, sure. Okay, well, my name is Helen Carter. I am a colour pencil artist. I specialise in realism and I really like drawing flowers and shiny things. And actually, I quite like doing birds too. So Mr. Blue Tit here is going to be a fun one. I'm a Derwent ambassador, so that means that I can work with that particular brand a lot. And I have the honour of being the artist on their latest Inktense 100 tin. Mm-hmm. So that was a big kind of bonus for me.
Yes, incredible.
Yeah, it was a huge thing. It was such an understated, no, it wasn't understated. I went completely ballistic. it was a really exciting thing when I got the packet through the door and opened it. And I was, oh my God, yeah. I was like screaming.
I bet. Yeah, because that is an incredible opportunity to be able to have your artwork on a tin that, you know, thousands of artists are going to buy.
Yeah, absolutely. I suffered terribly with imposter syndrome after that. I was like, oh my goodness, they can't possibly really mean it. When they're asking me to do it, I was like, they can't possibly mean it.
Yeah. Oh, that's so wonderful, Helen.
But yeah, it was good. It was good. But yeah, what else have I been doing? Yeah, not a lot. I do a lot of doodling as well. And but colour pencils are my real thing. I really, really enjoy colour pencils. So mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, so tell me about your favourite brands of colour pencil then. What do you like to use? Obviously, Derwent.
Yeah, I'm a Derwent girl. I do Lightfast, I think, are probably the most fun and not really a fun one. I think Chromaflow are the funnest ones to use. Uh-huh. But Derwent Lightfast are my favourite pencils. Mm-hmm. And that's because they just have all the right sort of colours that I really enjoy using.
Yeah.
And of course, they're a very professional brand. So, mm-hmm. You know, I can not worry too much about using them.
Yes.
On any commissions that I do.
Yeah.
And I think they're great. They're wonderful, wonderful on the Lightfast paper. Mm-hmm. But even more wonderful, hang on, let me just work out where this is going. There it is. Even more wonderful on drafting film. I think they are stunning on drafting film.
Okay, that's interesting. I haven't tried them on drafting film yet.
Yeah, I definitely recommend. They're very, very nice to use.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What's your favourite pencil?
So I was just going to ask about Chromaflow. Like, why do you find Chromaflow fun?
I do a lot of sketchbooking, yeah. And they are just perfect for just grabbing a stack of pencils, yeah. Not having to worry, you know, whether they're light fast or not, and not worrying really at all. And just enjoying the freedom of mm-hmm. being able to just play with colour pencils and draw with whatever colour you want.
Yes,
I'm not one of those that's a stickler. 150 yeah. now, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I recently did this fish illustration with using all 150 colours.
Yeah, that was amazing.
It was a bit bonkers.
It's a great challenge, though, to use all colours.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, I don't want that. I want this. No, that'll be fine. Yeah, it was. It needed a little bit of kind of thinking about mm-hmm. as to what was going to be what colour and how I was going to blend a whole bunch of pencils together. But in the end, it came out really nice. I really, really like it.
I love it too. I think it's such a beautiful picture of all those fish.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I think you're going to be storming ahead. Yeah, look at you. You're already
It's only because I'm using pastels as a base layer. It's very quick. That's why I use it, because it's so quick. And then I can just do all the details on the top with my pencils.
Oh, well, I haven't used pan pastels that much, actually. It's something that I've never quite mastered. I've attempted to. I've gone into pastels more recently.
Yeah.
But I have attempted to work with them. But I just like the colour pencils mm-hmm. much more. The layering. Yeah. And it's quite mindful, isn't it, don't you think?
Yes.
When you really kind of just get into the layers and such.
Yeah. But I'm definitely a mixed media girl. I like to try anything and everything and mix everything up and see what I can get out of it. So
I absolutely agree with you. Yeah, mixed media is the way to go. It's so much fun, isn't it?
Very fun. Yeah. I can't just use one thing, because I used to, like, when I first started out, I used just Derwent pencils as well myself. The Derwent drawing pack that they used to have.
Yeah, the really squashy ones.
Yeah. So that was the first ever, like, professional pencils that I ever used. And I only used those. And then I started using Faber-Castell. And then I started using Caran d'Ache. And then I dipped into pastel, because I was trying to, like, see how I could speed up the process or, like, make it more vibrant as well. I like the idea of the vibrancy you get from pastels.
Yeah, your work is incredibly vibrant, isn't it?
Thank you. I do really try to up that vibrancy. Yeah. So that's why I started mixing, I suppose, to try and implement, you know, the strengths of different mediums.
Yeah, absolutely. And I am, with regards to my colour pencil work, I'm much more of a just stick with the pencils.
Mm-hmm.
But I use lots and lots of different mediums in my sketchbooks.
Yeah.
And I don't really have a favourite medium. I use lots and lots of gouache. Not particularly great with watercolour,
mm-hmm.
but gouache I really, really enjoy. I think it's really, really good fun. Gouache and colour pencil are quite an established kind of pairing.
Yes. Yeah. I used to use the white. Is it gouache or gouache? I don't know how to say these things.
I think it's... Either.
Yeah. I used to use white a lot for whiskers.
Oh, yeah, for your
highlights.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I worry about that because sometimes it can flake.
Yeah, so I don't use it anymore because I guess it's technically not light fast. But I did used to use it quite often.
Yeah, I think some are more light fast than others, but
mm-hmm.
It's much better to use a good white pencil. So there's a good question for you. What is your go-to white pencil?
Probably the Caran d'Ache Luminance White.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it covers anything and everything, especially when it's sharp enough. It feels like it goes over anything, so I find it very easy to use.
Ah,
What about you?
Mine's the Pablo.
Okay. That's also actually a very good one. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. I really like the Pablo. I think it's really great on most of the surfaces I like to use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Pablo was actually kind of a recent addition to my colour pencil collection. I haven't used them. Like, I do sort of use them in everything, but I haven't used them for as long as the others. So I think the Luminance is still my go-to just because I've been using it for so long, I think.
The Luminance is great, but the Pablo for me, you can just get a slightly harder point on it.
They are good. Yeah, because they're like as hard as the Faber-Castells, but then also slightly creamier as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I find that they go over most things.
Definitely very nice. Yes, I wasn't.
But the Derwent drawing just blows my mind every time I use it, especially that black.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I still use that actually quite often. it's a good black. Yeah, I wanted to go back then and ask you about your being a Derwent ambassador, and maybe you can tell people about like how you became an ambassador and the things that you do with a business like that. Anybody that's interested in it.
Well, becoming an ambassador for a brand is really more luck than anything. I was in the UK Colour Pencil Society at the time, and a lady there was also an ambassador, and she was doing some work and she asked me to give her a hand, and I did. And then from there, I got asked if I would like to, you know, sign the contract, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And that was that. And then so I do work behind the scenes. So sometimes I'll help them with some product testing, I suppose. I certainly do a lot of trialing out a new product and giving them feedback, lots of things like that. And I also I've done some swatches for them for their products. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of the swatches on their website have recently been upgraded, so they are actually the pencils now and not a digital representation.
Yep.
Which is nice. I go to conventions for them. I say conventions. I went to I can't remember what it was called now, but it was a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to conventions and demonstrate for them. I do, what are the other things I do? Goodness me. Obviously, there's an opportunity to be asked to be on the tin. I teach, I suppose, their sales staff sometimes about the products. So give them an artist's view of the products, which is always nice, so that the salespeople know what it is they're selling.
Yeah.
And what else have I done? Oh, I've done so many different things. It's been it's been really good. I do online kind of 1 hour event things that they work with John Lewis. I've worked with John Lewis on behalf of Derwent and Cult Pens on behalf of Derwent. So yeah, it's a really varied kind of job, I suppose. And it's not really a job because it's on a call off basis,
right?
But
are you paid for the things that you do, or most things, or some things?
I'm absolutely paid. Yes, I get paid for everything that I do.
Good.
It's not one of those, oh, we'll pay you an exposure.
Yeah.
It is, you know, a proper zero hour contract or something like that. Yeah. But whatever, they can just say, we've got this job. Are you interested? And I can say yes or no.
Yes. Okay.
Depending on my availability, but I tend to say yes because it's usually really interesting and quite good fun. Yeah. Oh, I've done lots of their videos. That was it. Yeah, so quite a few of the videos that they have on their YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
The person behind the pen or the pencil is me in a few of them.
That's very exciting.
Which was very cool.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, so it's really nice. Mm. They're a nice bunch of people, and I really enjoy working with them, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Sharpen. There we go.
No, that's really amazing. Because I have worked with them a couple of times.
Yeah.
But I'm not an official ambassador. I've just been asked by them a couple of times to do a video or two. And a drawing and things like that. So it's nice to speak to a proper ambassador, I suppose, and ask exactly what you do with them. Yeah. So it's very interesting.
As I say, yeah. It's really, really varied what I do
yeah.
with them.
Sounds like it. What's been like your most favourite opportunity that you've done with them then that you'd like to do again?
Oh, I'd like to be on the tin or something else.
Yeah, really. Definitely. Be on all the tins,
that would be very nice.
Yeah,
I would love to do that again, but I don't know. I mean, I like it all. I really enjoy myself when I'm working mm-hmm. with them, and you know, I think that they like working with me too. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. It would be horrible if they didn't, but I think they like working with me.
I'm sure they wouldn't work with you if they didn't like working with you.
Yeah, oh yeah, I would hope that would be the case, but yeah. It's always a bit of a worry.
No, I'm sure you're wonderful to work with.
Well, you'll have to ask.
Yeah. Oh, so how did you get approached with the tin then? Did they just ask you?
Or did you mention? It was an email out of the blue, mm-hmm. and they said, we're thinking about we're asking you if you like to submit some ideas for the tin, and then I had to submit 3 ideas.
Okay.
And at that point I'd never been asked to do the tin thing before, so I didn't quite know whether they asked maybe 4 or 5 different people, and that's what I thought, to be honest. Hang on, I'm just going to shove in my black bottle. Probably really that would be
no.
Yes.
No, it's not really,
it's good. So they said, you know, just submit a few things, and I thought there'd be like 4 or 5 people and I was competing, mm-hmm. but no, they just asked me.
That's fantastic. So they knew they wanted you from the start then.
Yeah. So that was another thing that kind of added to the whole imposter syndrome thing. It's like, they can't possibly mean me, because, you know, the person on the tin at the time was Lisa Clough, Lacquery Fine Art.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking, oh my god, I've got to follow that. Mm-hmm. I can't follow that. That's, she, you know, she's been an art crush of mine for so long.
Oh, that's very exciting.
So yeah, I would definitely do that again if I was given the opportunity. But mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the John Lewis workshop. Mm-hmm. That was through John Lewis's website, and I think John Lewis in the UK, and the members get certain kind of perks, I suppose.
Okay.
One of these perks was to be invited, not invited, but have access to hang on a sec, 1 second. I'm just got to focus. There's another way. There we go. One of these perks, one of this last, a couple of years ago now, was to take part in or to join into some online workshops, art workshops and such.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was doing, also it was the fireworks on black paper with Chromaflow.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. And it was really good fun. Chromaflow hadn't long been out. But what they didn't tell me was that 5,000 people had signed up.
Oh, my goodness.
They didn't tell me until 5 minutes before I had to start.
Oh, my goodness.
Talk about scared.
But,
I suppose at the end of the day, it didn't really make any difference because I couldn't see anybody. I just had to pretend that nobody was there watching.
Right.
But it was jolly scary.
You didn't go to a John Lewis. You were just in your home.
I was in my home, yeah, because it was it was during COVID, actually. It was during COVID, so all I had to do was do it from my house, which was lovely. But
it's less scary.
Yeah, way less scary. But my goodness me, 5,000 people signed up for this event.
That's
which
incredible.
Was quite frankly one of the most frightening things I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
So how many? And they said, yeah, we didn't want to tell you before because we were frightened that it would put you off. Oh, dear. So, yeah, you're not wrong. It would have.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my goodness. But that's what an incredible opportunity that was.
Yeah, but I don't think 5,000 people actually turned up. I could see the counter going up, and it got to about 2,500, 3,000.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, I've got to stop looking, because I now know that there's all these people watching me, and this had better be a really good workshop.
Yeah.
But it went down very well.
Yeah, tell me a bit about your workshops then. Like, so what's the difference between a workshop in person and then one live? Like, how, I know there's obviously a difference, but like, you know, how does it feel in terms of preparation and like actually demonstrating itself?
Oh, I think the in-person workshops are the scariest things.
Uh-huh.
I haven't done that many. I've really only recently become acquainted with doing in-person workshops.
Right.
And it's really quite nerve-wracking. And I do find that I do a lot more preparation for the in-person workshops than I do for the online mm-hmm. ones. That's not to say that the online ones aren't important, because they are, but I haven't done that many of them to actually really kind of get a kind of a workflow organized with that.
Yes, okay.
But so I'll probably spend like a week worrying about it.
Mm-hmm.
hoping that it's all going okay, because I run I do my own workshops, I run tickets from my own website,
right?
And the tech is horrible, you know. I'm really not a fan of complicated technology, and it frightens me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm such a baby, but yeah, it's that kind of worries me more than anything, because I know that I can draw. But I just worry that the technology is going to fail, you know?
Yes. Like it was going to cut out halfway through, or you won't be able to hear anything.
Yeah.
I worry about the same thing, especially even with these lives. Like, can you hear me? Can you look? Can you see me?
Yeah. Yeah. Thankfully, I mean, for me, this is the first combined Instagram Live that I've tried.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, it let me in the end.
Yes. Yeah. No, they are tricky. So you do a few live workshops then.
I have.
And what does that entail?
It entails me travelling to a local studio.
Okay.
And I run it from a local studio, not from my house.
Okay.
Because I'm working in my lounge. And then the local studio is quite, you know, about sort of 20 minutes away. And I'll, for the most part, it's 10 people in the studio.
Okay.
And that's a really nice, really nice number to work with. And we'll start off with some, you know, easy exercises just to kind of get us warmed up.
Mm-hmm.
And then just usually just go straight into it, because, you know, we don't want to hang around for too long.
Yeah, yeah.
I do a lot of... I don't record at the moment. No, I'm as I say, the tech scares me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a camera that can record for more than 20 minutes at the mm-hmm. moment. So, you know, any recommendations on camera materials and such would be greatly appreciated, because I am struggling with that.
Yeah, I've just bought a Sony one. I find it really good, actually. I've been using it for my tutorials and things that I've been recording. I can send you a link after. I'm just trying to see, what's it called? Sony Optical? No. Just trying to find.
Do you use a camcorder?
No, it's sort of like a camera video recorder, but it does record for a long time. It doesn't shut off.
Maybe that's something that I should think about instead then, because I have a Sony Alpha DSLR camera.
Yeah.
And
The DSLR shut off because I've got a Canon DSLR and that shuts off.
Yeah, and I don't know why. Is it the heat?
No, it
must be the.
I think it's like a sort of like licensing, how they sell it kind of thing. Mm. Like it has to have a different set of requirements to sell something that you can record longer for.
That's bonkers.
Yeah, so if it's like specifically a camera, like DSLR camera, it's not allowed to film for a longer period of time, because that enters into like video cameras territory.
Oh, right.
So it's to do with some sort of like camera rules. I don't really know much about it. I just was like looking it up because I just didn't understand why it just kept shutting off.
Well, that might, yeah. So, yeah, you could send me that, your link, actually, because then if that is the issue, then yes, maybe actually purchasing an actual video camera, a 4K video camera, would be a much better bet.
Definitely. I think it's like the Sony Z something. I need to look it up. I can't see. It's like, yeah, it's like stuck above me, so I can't actually read what it is. But yeah, I'll send you a link, and anybody else who wants a link, just message me, I'll send you one too. But it's been very good camera. It's very easy to use because I don't like ones that have like just too many settings.
No,
because I just want to turn it on and record.
yeah and you can do 4K footage in it, can you?
Yes, you can.
Lovely. So that's going to be good for YouTube.
And I also like that you can also change like from like normal recording to portrait recording. So, you know, when the background goes a bit blurry and you're in focus and it looks really professional, it does that option as well. So,
oh, that sounds pretty right, actually, for what I need. So, appreciate that. That'd be great.
Yes, no problem. No, I've really enjoyed it. I've had it since May now, so it's relatively new.
Yeah.
Yes, it's very easy to use. Yeah, because everybody records everything now, don't we? We have to record for reels. We have to record
everything
for tutorials.
Everything is content, isn't it?
It's true.
Yeah. I'm so behind the times on making reels and such. I've really, really struggled to get into that habit. But I mean, my life has been a bit kind of topsy-turvy over the last sort of year or so anyway, so it's been really hard to kind of focus on the business side of things. But I'm, you know, now that side's part of my life has ended, I can now focus and try and, you know, just to see if I can make it as an artist, as a colour pencil artist.
So what are you trying to sell then? Are you like trying to do commissions or sell your own work?
I'd love to sell my own work, and I have had luck in the past selling my own work. But I think the market is very different now, post-COVID. So I've kind of moved into the teaching side of things. And
yes,
that's good.
Okay.
That is actually pretty rewarding and jolly good fun. But it's not what I want to do long term, if you know what I mean. So I would just like to be able to, as I'm sure we all would, I just want to paint and draw and people buy my stuff.
Yes. Basically.
Yeah. That would be so nice. But I know that that's, you know, highly unlikely in today's climate. I'm not.
Necessarily, because I literally do that.
Yes, I suppose you do.
Yeah.
You've been at it a while, though, so.
Yeah. But, you know, everybody starts somewhere.
Yeah. So I'm kind of considering that this coming year, because I've had a year almost off of being Helen Carter artist, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And this coming year, 2025, is my year to start over, I suppose, and pick up the pieces and start again.
Yes.
And hopefully make a living for myself. But, you know, I've got a lot to learn and a long way to go. Yeah. But I'm sure I can do it. I'm sure I can.
Definitely. I definitely think you can do it because you're an incredible artist and you already have a lot of, I guess, headway with your image, your public image, because I guess a lot of artists know you. You're on the tin of Derwent.
Yeah.
Like you've already made a bit of a name for yourself already. So it's not like you're starting from scratch.
That's very true. Yeah, that is very true. Thank you for that.
Sometimes no problem.
It feels like I'm starting from scratch.
I know the feeling. I suffer from imposter syndrome on a daily basis. So I think everybody does.
Not just me then, that's good news.
No, not at all.
Need some violet in the top of this head. There we go. Lovely.
Yeah, so tell me about this drawing that you're doing. So why did you pick the blue tip today?
Well, if you remember, I did not.
Oh, yes, I did.
So tell me, why did you pick the blue tit today?
Because I don't actually draw birds. So nope. I thought it might be a nice challenge.
Yeah, they're quite tricky, aren't they?
They are. It's like my bird looks quite furry right now because I'm just so used to drawing fur. So I have a fur bird rather than a feather bird. Do you have any tips on drawing feathers?
Less is more.
Okay.
I think, yeah, less is more. Don't try and put all the little kind of lines in.
Okay.
Otherwise it looks like fur.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing, isn't it? So what are you doing then? You're just blending.
I'm just layering up a whole bunch of different colours. I'm making really good use of the Arctic white to just use that blueiness to kind of push all this lot together and squash.
Yes.
And then I'll come in right at the very end and just put some really dark lines through it. That's pretty much it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But it takes a little while to kind of get to the right saturation, and I've got a bit of a halo going on around the outside, so I'll have to deal with that in a bit. But
yeah,
yes. I haven't drawn very many birds, but they are good fun.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of what am I saying? I do a lot of flowers. There you go, that's the word I was looking
yes.
for. Yeah, I do a lot of flowers, and mm-hmm. Some of my favorite pieces are flowers. Mm-hmm. But my actual favourite thing to draw is people.
Oh yeah,
and I hardly ever get an opportunity to draw people.
Oh, maybe you should start then.
I should just do it for myself, really. I mean, I did last year with my picture of Seren, which was the the girl in the daisy field picking.
I absolutely loved that. That is literally one of my all-time most favourite colour pencil drawings I've ever seen from anyone.
Oh, thank you very much.
I love it. I honestly love it. The glow you did on that girl's hair is just my favourite bit. It's just so, like, satisfying to see.
Yeah.
It's stunning.
Thank you so much.
It's very stunning.
That really means a lot. It was incredibly nerve-wracking to do because firstly I've never done any kind of backlit anything before. Just didn't have much of a clue as to how I should do it, and I was working on Rising Museum board at the time, which I'd never used before.
Well,
and the whole picture, you know, with her tulle dress, which was semi-transparent, all of it was sort of shades and textures I'd never, ever tried.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those, I just have to draw something for myself, and I'm going to pick something hard because I want to improve.
It was
hard. I mean, the grass was an absolute nightmare, and I don't care if I never draw grass again, but obviously I will. But, you know... It was hard, but it was incredibly satisfying. And for any beginners listening, you know, or people who are kind of like going, oh, I'm stuck, I just draw the same thing all the time. Then just don't. Just pick something that you want to draw and draw it to the best of your ability, because my goodness me, I felt so accomplished after doing that.
Yeah.
It was tremendous. The self-confidence that it gave me was
I feel like once you've drawn that drawing and you've come out with that, I feel like you're done as an artist. You've completed art.
Well, I mean, I couldn't have hoped for it to be any better than it came out. I mean, I was absolutely thrilled with it.
And
it was one of those, I can't believe I've done this. And I kept looking at it and looking at it, and in the end it was my mum, she was like, I have to have it.
So
it's now proudly in my mum's house, and she shows it off to anyone who comes into my door to drew that. And most people's response is, oh, it's a drawing. And I was like, yeah, it is. So I like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you for the compliments. It was one of those moments where I just had to draw something that I wanted to draw, and it was a person, and her skin tone came out beautifully, her hair came out beautifully. And that was great fun. The way that I did it, I don't know whether it was the right way to do it, but it certainly worked for me. And it was indenting a lot with nail dotting tools. So I have these things here. And
yes, okay, I've got some of those as well.
Yeah, they're just nail dotting tools. But they've got, I think it was like £4 off of Amazon for all of those. So I have a whole bunch of different sizes I can use.
That's and
I started with the most tricky bit of her hair, and working from the back, and just kind of did a whole load of, I would say, scribbles, but they weren't specifically scribbles. They were in the direction of the hair, I suppose.
Yeah.
And tried to get it as close as I could, and it worked out so nice.
Yes.
I was very proud. I was a very proud artist.
Yeah, it's incredible. So anyone listening, please go to Helen's Instagram, scroll down and look at that piece. You'll see, you'll know it when you see it. It is just just beautiful. I love it so much. Yeah.
Thank you so much. That was great fun. And I think doing things that scare you, drawing stuff when you're scared, is just a great way to learn.
It pushes you as an artist, doesn't it? Otherwise,
doesn't it? Yeah.
You get very stuck in your comfort zone and knowing what you're doing, but that's not always like the best place for you, is it?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, especially for teachers, I think it's really important. If you're going to teach, you really know, we need to know more than what you're teaching.
Yes. Yeah.
So.
No, definitely.
A big moment for me. I was very, very proud.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, like, I've just brought out the new practice journal human portrait edition, which has been so fun to create and do. So
you should get this.
So these are the ones done so far.
Oh my goodness.
They are hard. But it's all about the lighting, I think, with lips. Like, it's all about what you can't see. Like the outlines, there's no outlines, so
that's
it's
right.
more about blending. Yeah. And then I drew this eye recently as well, just trying it out. It just gives you the opportunity to just flick through and pick something that you wouldn't normally do or see and just try it out.
Yep, absolutely. So, I shall invest.
Yeah,
because I really, really enjoy portraits. They tend to do well in competition too.
Portraits.
Yeah, they do tend to win most of the competitions.
I think because it's something that most people can relate to.
Maybe, quite possibly.
Yeah,
I think it's, you know, it's just one of those weird kind of things I have been noticing, that most of the winning artwork is usually a portrait.
Interesting. Yeah, I love portraits too. I used to draw like my friends a lot before I got started as a professional artist, and you draw pictures and things for your friends for Christmases and birthdays. So I used to draw their portraits. I don't know if they wanted a self-portrait of themselves, but I drew it for them anyway.
But they've got them.
Yeah, and then I drew animals as pet portraits, and then sometimes I get the opportunity, like if someone wants me to draw them with their pet or like their child with their pet.
Yeah.
So that's really the only opportunity I get now to draw people. And there's definitely a trick with people. You've got to get those features exact. It's not like an animal, like if it's slightly off it still looks like the animal. No, if
absolutely.
It's slightly off on a person, it just looks like a completely different person.
yes, for sure.
So I do like that challenge.
I just love drawing people. Mm-hmm. They're all so different.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Okay, what am I doing here? You're well ahead. I haven't finished yet.
That's okay, you don't have to finish. There's still like 45 minutes to go.
I'm pretty happy with it though. It's looking all right. I've been working on my ability to capture tonality, the tone of things recently. Yeah. Been really, really focusing on that.
And how have you been doing that? Like, what do you do to practice things like that?
I've got, where is it? When I'm working on a piece, mm-hmm. I'll use these are my swatch cards. These are my Derwent swatch cards.
Nice.
And they've got a hole in them. And I put the hole.
So you can put it over and you can see. Oh, that's very clever.
So I can see the colour and the tonality. So it works incredibly well. So I know that this banana was the right colour, but it was just too dark on its own. So I had to layer in something else. And because it was more green, I thought maybe layering in a bit of a blue might help. Mm-hmm. What's a really light blue? An Arctic. And then I, you know, set up a whole bunch of little swatch cards like this for the piece that I'm working on, and this was this bit here was blue, this was yellow, you know, banana and Arctic, and this one was the banana and the green that I used on the outside, which actually I preferred. So, and it worked out, and it, so that's what I've been working on. I've been making sure that I'm really working to look at my tonality, because I really like good contrast in a piece.
Yeah, it definitely makes it, doesn't it?
Definitely. Yeah it always looks nicer when the contrast is right. And
I really like those little tone cards you've made. Very useful.
Oh, they're super handy. Yeah, I've got them for all of my pencils. It's enough to take a long time to make, but well worth it.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, but it definitely looks more furry and fluffy than feathery, but oh well. He's warm for the winter.
Yeah. Mine's yeah, he's all fluffed up. That's what it is.
Yeah. Like newly washed.
Newly washed. Yeah. I tend to put quite a lot of texture in my work, I think.
Oh yeah?
Oh yeah. I burnish quite heavily and press very hard at the end of my piece. So it always has a lot of kind of lovely yummy texture running through it, which I love.
Yeah, I press quite hard as well. I like to completely get rid of any tooth and any like showing of white paper. I hate showing white paper.
Yeah,
and like it's so many layers that it almost looks like an oil painting.
Yeah
you know what I mean.
Yes, definitely. I have a tendency to overblend, but I'm working on that too.
Yes, I do find I do that quite often when I haven't been drawing for a while.
I think because I've done the same thing and not been drawing for a while, this is quite nerve-wracking.
That's fine, you're doing a beautiful job.
Well, thank you. There we go.
Yes. I'm using pastel matte, so it's got a lot of tooth to get rid of.
I'm also on pastel matte.
Yeah. Are you using white as well?
Am I using white? Pastel matte, yes. Yeah. Yep. White pastel matte. One of the best.
Yeah. I've been trying to use the greys as well. They've been interesting. I don't really like anything that's more colourful than that, because it completely throws me off my colour selection. I have no idea what I'm doing.
you need those little swatch cards on the different colour cards.
Yeah.
And that will ease your problem significantly. Oops.
I've just been doing it for practice really, because with my commissions I specifically use like the Strathmore paper.
Oh yes.
Because I trust it, I know what I'm doing with it, and I like my commissions to be, you know, perfect. So yeah. I don't tend to experiment too much with actual commissions.
No. Oh, I think that's fair enough. People are paying for what they've seen from you already.
Exactly. And when you use different paper, it does look different, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely does. Definitely. And I've done some commissions before. Mm-hmm. Haven't done commissions in a while, but I've got a few coming up. But I've done some where I've changed my paper and I've started again because I didn't like it.
Yeah, because it does just completely change your style and the techniques you use, and So you just, I just like to keep that side of my art consistent, I suppose. Yeah.
Have you tried the Rising Museum board?
No, I haven't.
If you like hot press or...
I like smooth paper.
I think you'd love it.
Generally. Yeah? Okay.
I can't imagine anyone using it and not loving it, but that's because I absolutely adore it.
What brand is it?
Pass. Can't remember.
Okay.
Whose is it? I don't know, but I buy it in Jackson's.
Okay, yeah.
And,
love Jackson's.
They're quite often sold out, but it's sold in big boards.
Okay. And then you cut it up?
I cut mine up.
Interesting.
Yeah, that seems to work well. That does.
Yeah, I normally buy my paper in like the biggest size that they do, like in pads, and then cut that up.
Oh yeah,
because it's quicker and easier than like buying every single size.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, I used to buy every size, but I don't do that anymore. Yeah. Try and be a bit more frugal with my spending.
Yeah, absolutely. Same here. Same here. But yeah, I found the paper last year. That's when I did Seren on it for the first time.
Oh,
and it's
okay.
Just a lovely paper.
Well, I better try it then, if that's the kind of art you create on it.
I can't recommend it enough, really.
Yeah. Would you use it for your commissions then that are coming up?
No, I haven't priced that into my commissions. It's pastel matte for my commissions, and for the same reasons as you just explained, really. It's just like I know what I'm doing on pastel matte. I know how my pencils work, which ones go on top, which ones go underneath, and all that kind of thing. It's just, you know, much more comfortable for me to work in ways that I understand, rather than trying to experiment a little bit on the commission. So, but you know, it would be nice to get some me time into my studio at some point and do things that I want.
Yes, definitely. Tell me a bit about your studio. Do you have your own spare room or?
No, I'm in the lounge of my very small little flat.
Lovely.
I've been in the lounge for a little while, but it works very nice. I've got a lovely little eclectic wall space inspired by your beautiful studio, actually.
Oh yeah,
yes. I was totally dumbfounded when I saw your "here's what I've done to my studio" upgrade, the decorations and such, and it was a maximalist thing. It's the first time I heard that, and I was like, I love it, I love it, I love it, I want it, I want it.
Fantastic.
So it's not quite as maximal because I really don't have the space, and it still needs to act as a lounge. but it's got lots of beautiful art on the wall, which is not mine, and because I buy quite a lot, and it's at the moment it's all kind of in dark teal and mustards and kind of like dookie green colors, which I really like that dookie green color. And then my art space is like brushed dark goldy colors with dark browns and yet the mustard coming through from the sitting area and what else, wooden shelves, I don't know, it's just and a little table that I work off of. And that's just me. So I've cut my lounge in half.
Yeah.
Now that I'm on my own, I've cut my lounge in half rather than having a big lounge, so that I can kind of come away from the studio of an evening. I don't have to be in the studio at night when I'm on my own. So I can just almost shut the door to it. Right, I'm just going to.
Oh, that's a good idea. Keeps it separate from your life a bit then as well.
Yeah, I can turn my back on it, you know? It does seem to help quite significantly.
Yeah, you don't have artwork staring in the face saying, "Finish me, finish me."
I'm having trouble with that at the moment. I don't know what it is.
I keep mine in the drawer.
Yeah, I think it's the time of year, actually.
Yeah.
Really, really struggling to kind of find the oomph to do things, although I've just got back off holiday, so that was lovely.
You should be fully recovered and relaxed then.
I know.
In theory.
In theory, yeah. Yes, I've just been hit in the face with a roast potato, so I'm right. dealing with a very burnt chin right now.
See, yeah.
No, it's hilarious. Only me. So I was cooking dinner, and my apartment was let whilst I was abroad, mm-hmm. and I haven't used the top oven. I'm only 5'1",
yeah.
So the top oven is at eye line for me. So I hadn't used it until Sunday this week, last weekend. And I didn't realise that the oven runners weren't actually in the kind of runners. So it was loose, just sat on top. So I went in to check on my roast potatoes at the halfway mark. And the whole shelf promptly tipped up, and roast potatoes jumped out at my face.
Oh my goodness!
And one landed directly, kind of just under my bottom lip, oh. And I've got a really horrible burn that I'm dealing with at the moment, trying to hope it will heal. Yeah, I mean, it's not life threatening or anything, but it was just funny to say I got hit in the face by a roast potato.
Yes. Get a conversation started.
Exactly.
Oh dear, you poor thing. Well, I hope you heal soon.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be all right. Just coming on.
Yeah,
coming on lovely.
You ever use these like blending pencils?
Blending pencils?
Yeah, like with Caran d'Ache, you get these like blending pencils. They're like, this is what they look like. They're all completely.
Yeah. This is
weird, like
this is the Derwent version.
Yeah. So they're a bit harder than that, because I do have the Derwent version as well.
There we go.
Derwent ones quite a lot.
No. No. I'm more of a Derwent blender pen girl.
Mm-hmm.
Love these.
The blender pen. Yes, yep. I've got one of those.
But this one's grubby, I think. Oh, no, it's not too bad.
Do they work on pastel mat?
Yeah, look.
Oh, let me try. I've got one. Here we go. I rarely use these blender things.
Just don't go over and over and over the same area, because you'll end up clearing the pigment off.
Right.
You just need to do almost just one go, one pass, and then. Roll the blender pen as you're doing it to get clean areas, and then always wipe it off elsewhere.
Right.
Because the more you rub in one direction, if I just do it on this bit here, look, you'll just take the top of that cellulose off.
I see.
But if you're very light-handed,
mm-hmm, which I'm not,
just, yeah, no, neither am I. But if you are, if you can be, they're absolutely superb. Also, really good for drawing with on pastel mat, because you just get it grubby on another piece, and then you can kind of do little swishy marks and bring it in from outside, almost like painting with it.
Okay, very interesting. Yeah, I feel like these are things I should use more, but I don't.
Yeah, the fat one is my favourite, mm-hmm. this big blobby one.
Mm-hmm.
The little guy, he's got a much harder nib. And can you hear it?
Yeah.
Much more scratchy. Whereas the other one is like a bingo dobber. It's really squashy.
Mm-hmm.
But they last about, well, it depends on how often you use them. But I mean, I've been away. These have been in storage for a year, so they're a little bit drier than I would normally have them. But I absolutely love them, and they work amazingly well with, they're very good with the light fast, but they're even better with the Chromaflow, in my opinion.
Okay. Sure, it's very interesting.
But yeah, I haven't used the blender pencil in a very long time.
Mm-hmm. I rarely use them, to be honest. No. I just thought I'd try it now, doing a bit of experimentation.
Yeah. It's pretty good, actually. It's going well.
Yeah, we're actually getting quite a lot done. Oh,
well,
it is time anyway.
I'm almost done, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Well, we both nearly finished then.
That wasn't as difficult as we thought it was going to be, that one.
I was quite scared about it, actually, but I think it's gone quite well.
It's
been quite a nice, colourful one to do.
Yeah, on this dreary day.
Yeah, nice and colourful.
Yeah, we just need to... I can't leave it unfinished. I'm going to have to finish it off.
Yeah, that's fine. So when you finished it, you send me a picture. I would love to share it and have it on the cover of the podcast, as I like to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you so much for joining me, Helen. It's been so interesting to talk to you. And I just love that, you know, I've been able to chat to you about your beautiful pieces and your workshops. It's been incredibly helpful for me, and I'm sure our listeners as well.
Oh, thank you. It was really nice to meet you properly. Finally,
yes.
I've been secretly stalking you for a few years. So,
well, it's known now. So thank you so much for joining me again, and thank you everybody for joining us today. If you're not already, please go and follow Helen and look at her incredible artwork. You know, it's just amazing. And for these practice journals, if you want to get your own, if you've drawn this with us, or if you want to draw any of these beautiful British wildlife animals, then go to learnmycraft.com, where you can watch this episode back and get your own copy of the practice journal British Wildlife Edition. And thank you everybody else, and see you next time.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Helen.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
If you've enjoyed listening, remember you can watch this podcast with video and no ads at learnmycraft.com, where you'll also find animal art practice journals, books, and tutorials to get you started. Hit subscribe and follow the podcast, and we'll see you next time.